Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, six lines into the wide lines. In this, it's 24:82, first column. Okay, we didn't learn for a while, but the last thing the Gemara was saying is the difference between the scholars of Eretz Yisrael and the scholars of Bavel. The scholars of Eretz Yisrael, even when they argued, they respected each other, and the scholars of Bavel didn't. That was the Gemara was saying. So the Gemara continues with this. Amar Rabbeishia says, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? I took myself two staffs. One staff I called gracious, and one I called chevlim, assaulters. Okay? So it's like, the Navi says, I'm taking two sticks, one is good and one's bad. So he says, Noyam, sweet and gracious, Talmidech HaChom Sheberetz Yisroel. The scholars of Eretz Yisroel, Shemaniyim Zezeb Aloch, they're gracious towards each other in Aloch. Meaning, even when they disagree, they're still nice to each other. Chevlim, but assaulters, Chachom Shebebavel, are the Chachomim of Bavel, Shemachablim Zezeb Aloch. They sting each other when it comes to Aloch. Even though they argue, they're not nice. And then the pasuk continues, Vayemir Eli. He said to me, Shnei b'nei yitzar emdim. There are two sons of oil that are standing, u'shnei zeisim ala, and two olive trees next to it. The pasuk says, there's two sons of oil, and two trees. So Gemara says, yitzar, amar Rabbi Yitzchok said, elu tamidei chacham sheberetz Yisroel. Those are the scholars of Eretz Yisroel, sheneichem lazeh b'alochem. They're very easy going to each other, and halacha like shem and zayis, like oil, olive oil soothes. So the pasuk says like this: there are two olive oils and two trees. Now olive trees are bitter; olives themselves are bitter. Olive oil is sweet. So it says this that the pasuk referring to olive oil refers to the talmidei chachamim in Eretz Yisrael that are nice to each other, and the two olive trees shneim zaysim aleha. Elo tamir chacham shebabav refers to tamir chacham mabavel shemerudim zela zeb alochik kizayis. They're bitter towards one another like an olive tree.
Does that make them sharper?
We'll soon see in the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say that soon. By the way, machshakim eshivani. But the bottom line is that scholars in Eretz Yisrael, even when they argued, respected, were nice to each other. In Bavel, they were very sharp and stinging towards each other.
But they were not respecting of each other?
No. That's what Gemara says.
So that's why it happened to Rabbi Akiva at...
Rabbi Akiva was in Eretz Yisrael.
So why they were not... the Talmidim that were not respected of each other? That's
in Bavel not. In Eretz Yisrael, yeah.
So I don't understand. So why in Eretz... Why the... Omer happened?
Yeah, but that's a different story.
Like Omer and
over here, here the Gemara is talking about when they argued in learning. Were they nice towards each other or not? Otherwise, they were nice towards each other. Okay.
Because of the knowledge, some were less knowledge.
In Bavel, they were very, very sharp people. And when they disagreed sharply. That's all.
So that means they were not sharp enough.
They were too sharp. Uh-huh. Let's continue, we'll see. Then the pasuk says like this: Ve'esev ve'eda einai. I picked up my eyes. Ve'eda and I saw it. Nishtaim noshim yetzis. Two women went out. Ve'ruach ve'kanfeihem, and their wind in their wings. Lahena gnafayim kekanfei chasida, and they had wings like the wings of the chasida bird. Vatisena se'efa, and they lifted the efa measure. Well, Gemara is going to explain what this means. Bein ha'aretz ve'bein shemayim, between heaven and earth. What does it mean? It means like this. And the Malach that said to me said, where are they taking the Eifa to? To build a house in the land of Shinar. Okay, that's what the Pasuk says. So Gemara says, what does this Pasuk mean? Zuchanufa v'gatsa saruach. This refers to flattering other people, rishoyim, and arrogance. Sheyard the lebava that went into bavel. Bava was known for their arrogance and their flattering of each other. They, in other words, were false people.
They
went to extreme. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, according to this, haughty and arrogance went into Bava. So the Gemara asks, it's not true, because the Gemara says, I'm a mad within this Gemara in Kedushin. I saw the Kabin Gasis Yardul Eilim. 10 levels of measure of arrogance came into the world. Tisha Notla Elam, Elam, but it was not Bava, another country, took 9 and 1 to the rest of the world. So in other words, if you're speaking about arrogance, Elam had arrogance, not Bava. Bava was only the 1%, I mean the 10% that the whole world took. So the Gemara answers, yeah, it's not the Bava Nachas. It originally originated coming down arrogance to Bava. And then it moved to Elam. But now the Gemara says initially, arrogance came into Bava. So they were very arrogant. So when people are arrogant, they sting each other and they're sharp to each other and they're not nice to each other and all that stuff.
Only in learning.
Yeah. What?
Does it say where Elam is?
No. Okay, so Gemara says not like this. They kanami, I'll prove it to you that this is what it means. Tichsiv livnus to base bayis baedit Shinar. It went to build a home in the land of Shinar. Meaning, now, livnus law. The pasuk says the two women flew, whatever. Okay, refers to angel, but two women flew, and at the end it says livnus law bayis, singular. That means the other women left. Shema mina. So we see that even though a little bit of, as it called, sanctimony, okay, less stayed in bubble, but most of it moved. Because the pasuk says only one woman remained, meaning one attribute. And the other one moved. Okay, so now the Gemara asks this. Ma'amad says in the Gemara, a different place, Sim and the Gassus Ruchanias. The negation of arrogance is poverty. And I know Anias the Bavel Nachas, and poverty descended into Bavel. Okay? So the question is, if Bavel had poverty, then obviously Bavel was arrogant. The Gemara says in Kedushin that poverty came into Bavel. The people in Bavel were very poor. Yeah. Now, if arrogance is a sign of poverty, and Bavel was poor, that means they're arrogant. Right? So why are you saying it moved to Elam?
Arrogance is not a sign of poverty. Arrogance is a sign of...
No, it says, Simen legasus rohanias. The Gemara says the sign of arrogance is poverty.
So someone is funny from their arrogance?
That's what the Gemara seems to learn. So the Gemara answers, no. My Aeneas, what Aeneas are we talking about? Not physical poverty. Arrogance causes learning poverty.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, physical poverty was in Bavel. But this that the Gemara says arrogance causes poverty, it doesn't mean physical poverty. It means poverty and learning. Like I said, my Aeneas the Tatum. Why? Okay, why? He says, Rashi explains why. Because arrogant people say, I know it already. So they don't bother reviewing it. They don't review it, they forget it.
But that's Bava. I mean, the whole Talmud Bava is from Bava.
One second, we're not done. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, Ochus Lanu Ktana, that we have a young sister, the Shaddai Menlo has no breasts. What does it mean? Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Elam, that refers to the city, the country of Elam, Shazach Zalilmeit, they merited to learn, but they never taught. But in Bavel, they also taught. And therefore you see like this, the people of Elam, who had the arrogance, never taught Torah. Because like he says, arrogance causes poverty of learning. But Bavel did. And the Gemara says, my Bavel, what is the name Bavel? So by the way, yesterday, in Chumash, it says, why was it called Bavel? Because all the nations were mixed. But here the Gemara says different. My Bavel, Amr Rabbi Yechanan said, Belula, they were saturated with Mikra, they were saturated with Mishnah, they were saturated with Talmud. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Mamachshakim eshivani kameisi elam." The pasuk says that in Eicha that he placed me in darkness like the eternally dead. Abim is a Talmud Bavel. That's Talmud Bavel. Why? So I don't know what he says here, but the Gemara explains like this: the difference between Bavel and Yerushalmi, and that's why the Gemara, this pasuk teaches us why, if there's an argument Bavel and Yerushalmi, the halacha is like Bavli. Why? If you ever see Yerushalmi, it's this big. Six volumes, very small. Bavli is the Shas the way we know it. So it says, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't refute, ask, the debate each other. They're more or less statements. In Bavel, because of what we learned, they were sharp and they would debate each other. And when you ask questions and debate, isn't it? So then you understand it much better. So therefore it says, because of the debates and the arguments and the Bavel and nature of the people from Bavel to be stinging and arguing and all that, so therefore the halacha is like Bavel. Therefore it says, "B'machshakim eshivani," he has placed me in darkness, Eretz Yisrael is light. Bavel is dark, spiritually. So therefore, nevertheless, the learning of Bavel is what prevails.
It's good not to be nice.
Not really.
One would think that wouldn't be a good attitude. Exactly. You think shalom like that and nasty to your colleagues. But
yeah, but it was all done in learning.
It seems like the Gemara is saying that even the Jews of Bavel and Elam were.
He's talking about the scholars, not the Jews.
I know, but it seems like it says that even the Jews were subject to the type of mazel that was put in that country.
Yeah. In the environment affects the person. Just like the Marsha Avida Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. That means even a moron goes there to get a little smarter. But look at this top tesis to the left. It says Bavli is composed of Mishnah, Mikra, Mishnah, right? So tesis says Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Betalmud Shalanu, when we learn Gemara Bavli, Anu Peitan Atzmeinu, we free ourselves. What the Mishnah says in Aveda Zara, Le'elim Yashliv Adam Shneisav, over there the Gemara says a person should divide his life into three. Wow. Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Shas.
Nothing left to it, huh?
No, by the way, there's a Machlekes, the Alter Rebbe brings down this din, there's two opinions. Does it mean a third of each day? Does it mean a third of the year? Does it mean a third of your life? Whatever, different opinions. But Taisus says, the Gemara says over there, you should do a third Chumash, a third Mishnah, a third Gemara. Our Bavli, the Gemara says over here, is full of Gemara, Mishnah, and Psukim. So when you learn Bavli, you got it all. You don't have to learn the other things. And then Taisus says, Afal Pikein, yeah? Nevertheless, we still read every day Parshas HaTamid. We still say every day something from Chumash. We also, the Mishnah is El Mekayman. And we say Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel B'Shleish Yasvim Midis. Taisus, if you notice, we say like this. It's Kabani Lachmi Lisha in Kabanis every day, right? And then we have the Perek of Ezel Mekayman, which is Mishnah. And then at the end we have Rabbi Shmuel, which is really Brice in Gemara. So Taisus says, even though when we learn Bavli, we have it all, we still clearly do Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. It says, why do you pick Ezel Mekayman? Interesting, why do we say Ezel Mekayman every day? So Tay says, the reason is because we want to mention Mishnah every day.
Also,
it says because that's the only Perek of Mishnah, there's no argument.
So seemingly that's the way we should learn Yerushalmi then, Halacha on Yerushalmi, because there's no Machlekes.
But Halacha is like Bavli, because Dafka, when there is, because there is Machlekes.
We do that because before davening, we want to have
Avos Yisrael. No, that's what it says. The reason why you say it's on Mekem, because the only parak of Mishnah is in Shas, that doesn't have arguments.
Is Tefillah is not include everything?
No. Tefillah is learning. We're talking about davening. We're talking about learning.
As part learning of the Torah, you are part of everything. Telling everything they have in Tefillah.
Yeah, but it's not. You don't find too much in Tefillah. Tefillah primarily is Shemoneh Esrei. You don't have anything in Shemoneh Esrei.
So, Rambam doesn't hold by this Gemara?
He does.
But the third. He never, Rambam doesn't bring the
Bavli.
Yeah.
But the Baal Shechonar does.
That's it. The opinion.
I know. So the Rambam is cholek on.
Could be.
This thing is still continuing. You know, you go to a Sephard, any Sephardi shul, they're constantly fighting one another.
Baruch Hashem.
So this argument is. Continuing.
No, this is on Torah only. We are not talking about Hersim or Machloket.
Everything they're fighting.
They are from Babylon.
I'll tell you a little secret. Yaakov, I'll tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody. Ashkenazic should also fight.
No, different.
It's the Jewish thing to do.
In the meeting they fight. Ashkenazim, in the meeting they fight. But Sephardi just go.
In the Bet Knesset.
Just go right at each other.
Somebody in our shul said that there was this imam who had a daughter, and he liked this Jewish boy, yes. And he made him take his daughter. He made him say, I'm going to kill you if you don't marry my daughter. So he took her to shul. And the guy, the Balkoyim, made a few mistakes, and everybody was like yelling at him to fix it. So he came home. He said, "Look, for one word, they care. We care so much about the Torah." So she converted to Yiddish.
Okay. The Mishnah Chav Dalet.
Nice story.
Okay. So if you remember the previous Gemara, we're learning that Meir was saying. You can, the litigant can disqualify the judge and the witness and the chachamim argue, and the Gemara was discussing that whole thing. Now the Gemara says like this: Amalei, if one of the litigants says, "Neman alai Abba, I accept my father as one of the judges," or "Neman alai Avicha, I trust your father as one of the judges," tells the other litigant, "I will trust your father," or Neman alai shleisha rebaka. I even trust three shepherds who are total ignoramus, total ignorant people. I accept them as a judge. Okay, let me give an introduction before we get into the Mishnah. There's a din like this. A Beis Din is three. A Beis Din has to be kosher people. You can't have a relative in a Beis Din. Obviously, why? Because he's biased to you. I mean, you can have your father in the bed, and of course he's going to go against you. So he's biased. Or mother, can you imagine having a mother-in-law in the bed? So, you know the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech with the two kids?
Yeah.
He said, cut the kid in half. Okay. So he tells a story like this. There's once, two boys went to a city to marry two girls. Two boys went to marry two girls in the city. So they came to the city, but on the way, one of the boys died. So now one boy comes,
and two girls.
So both girls were fighting, they want to marry the boy. Okay? So they didn't know what to do. So they came to the Rav, and the Rav said, okay, listen, there's two girls and there's one boy, we'll cut them in half, and each girl will get a... So... One of the mothers says, good idea! So he says, that's the girl he's marrying. That's the mother-in-law. Okay, anyway. So. You can't have, okay, you can't have a woman in a bedroom, but all joking aside. But what happens if a guy says, listen, I accept your father as a judge. Or I accept three ignoramuses to be a judge. Now, Alpidin, that's fine. If you accept them, if both sides accept them, it's fine. You can accept whoever you want. The question is, can you later change your mind? After you accept them, can you change your mind? Say, no, I changed my mind. So the mayor says, you can change your mind. Because a mayor b'chal holds, you can disqualify the judge, you can disqualify the witness, and the mayor says, listen, you can do it. Chachamim eim lechachamim say, ein yachol lachzevei. You're not allowed to change your mind. Once you accepted them, okay? Now, we'll see later in the Gemara, Rashi says in the Gemara they're going to discuss, is this before the verdict or after the verdict? We'll see in the Gemara, one opinion says that this is even after the verdict is given, that mayor says you could change your mind. And say, no, I don't accept it.
How does it work?
They accept.
Well, because they're not kosher people.
So why they accept it?
I change my mind.
Then, Freya, you go back and the din is
that,
already
we'll
done.
See in the Gemara exactly what this means. Is it before the verdict, after the verdict?
Before we had that he's not supposed to put somebody's not supposed to put himself in a position that the other person can disqualify.
But this is what happened. This is the Gemara says this is exactly what happened. Now, how you chayv lechaveir shvua? If somebody, one litigant, was supposed to swear a shvua in Bezdin. Okay, and he said Amarli, and he says to him, you know what? You don't have to swear the Bezdin swearing. Derli bechayir shachar. Just swear to me by the head of your by your head. In other words, I'll accept a personal oath versus the Bezdin oath. Mm-hmm. Meaning like this: Bezdin oath. When Bezdin obligated you to swear, you hold on to a sefer Torah. It was a whole serious procedure. And a lot of times people didn't want to go through that. So one litigant says to the next, you know what? Forget it. You have to swear to me. I'll accept the personal shvur. You know, just swear by your head that without a sefer Torah, without all that, I'll accept it.
And then, done
today, right, Rabbi? 1 minute. Rabbi, the guy could change his mind and say, no, I want a shvur of a bezdin. You can't change your mind.
Today's
shvur is not done. Sometimes they do shvur. It depends which bezdin. Sometimes instead of swearing, they'll make you pay a third. Whatever.
They don't get shvur today? In the bezdin?
Not. We don't have a biblical shvur today.
So how do they know that somebody is saying like the truth or not?
And
the judge.
They go by different guidelines without a shvur. For instance, if I say, you know, the classical biblical of Mordechai Mixas, I say, you owe me $1,000, and you say, no, I owe you $500. So there's a biblical shvur, right? Then you have to swear that you don't owe the rest. Right. Then you get freed. Normally, we'll see later in the Gemara, normally you swear to get out of paying. Rarely do you swear and take. You know, I can't swear you owe me $1,000 and take the money. You could swear that you don't owe me the $1,000 and swear and you'll get out of paying. There's few exceptions to the rule that, let's say, the guy that's supposed to swear is a known thief who lies. So Bezdin's not going to let him swear because he'll lie.
So
Bezdin will let the other guy swear and take the money.
Or still he has to swear.
No, he can't swear. Bezdin's not going to let him swear.
No, the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy who could swear normally, but that's an exceptional rule. Or there's another case. It's called Chavani Al Pinkasi. It's a very famous story in the Bar Mitzvah. You worked for me. Okay, you worked for me. And I tell you, go to the storekeeper. He'll pay you for me, and I'll owe him the money. Okay? Got it? I owe you money because you worked for me. And I tell you, go to him. He'll pay you the money, and then I'll pay him. Yeah? Later what happens? The storekeeper says, I gave him the money. You say you never got it. Now you're coming to me for the money. And the storekeeper is coming to me for the money. Now normally, I would have to swear to get out of paying. Normally I would have to swear to not pay. Right? But I can't swear because I don't know what happened. You tell me you never got the money. You tell me that you gave him the money. I don't know. So.
You have to pay both of them.
No, you have to both swear and I have to pay them both.
I mean, how does the judge know if there are two people sitting?
One of them you should pay. Why both of them pay?
Are righteous. Both of them.
You mean they're both liars?
Good liars.
Yeah. No. And they're called righteous?
Good liars wasn't good liars.
No, I mean, they, both of them.
What's it saying, Pirkei Avos? When they're both in front of you, you're benachah kirishoyim. And when they accept it, then you're benachah kitzadikim. That coin, Pirkei Avos, no?
Why do you have to pay for both of them? This is strange.
What should I do?
One is enough.
Both say, what should I do? Okay. Both say, you owe me the money. And I have no way of knowing.
It's the judge that decides.
Yeah, but if you have a bezdin of three, it's the majority opinion.
Right. So there's no swearing. Nobody's going to get up and hold and I did this, I did that. It's the judge that decides somebody is saying.
Sometimes
right,
the judges will make the person swear, but I told you today we don't swear. No.
So in the case of Motu Ben Mingsa, what happens? He gets a third of money?
Something like that. You don't swear, he has to X amount of money. No, the half he agreed.
Yeah. So
that you have to pay, and from the other, they can whatever. Okay. So the case over here like this. The Mishnah says, the guy says, I accept your father as a judge, or my father as a judge, you know, and then he changes his mind. Rameh says he could. Chacham hold, you can't. Or if a guy was obligated to shvut to somebody in Bezdin, and the guy says, you know, okay, forget it, let's not go to the Bezdin shvut, just swear to me, you know, your personal shvut. And again, Rameh says you can change your mind. Chacham hold, you can't. Okay, so now the Gemara says, what do you want to say?
This is the strange that going to bed in after verdict or before verdict, they change their mind.
That's what we said. The Gemara is going to talk. Is it before or after verdict? The Gemara discusses. Is it before verdict?
Before is okay, but after the verdict is a problem.
Well, according to one of the people, see in the Gemara, that may hold, you could change your mind even after the verdict. Huh? The Gemara is going to explain it, obviously. Okay. Amr Avdimi, B'rei de Rav Nachman, B'rei de Rav Yosef, Rav Dimi, the son of Rav Nachman, who's the son of Rav Yosef, says like this. Again, this case is the Kibla Labachad. He accepted his father as one of the three judges. Not as the sole judge. As one of the three judges. Okay, so therefore, yeah, you can rescind it, okay?
It's a monetary thing.
Huh?
Monetary.
Yes. Or, as Rashi explains, even if he accepted him as two or three of the judges, he for sure could. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel said like this. The machleik is, okay? Now, and the Mishnah said you could change your mind. But the Mishnah doesn't say which one of the plaintiff or the litigant. Who could change the mind?
Obviously, the one who's losing.
Well, Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, machleikis, the argument between Rameh and the Chachamim is b'mochulach. Is if the guy says clearly, if the court finds in your favor, I'm going to be meichel you. Okay? That means, Chachamim hold, this is what Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel is explaining. When do the Chachamim hold you can't change your mind? You cannot change your mind? That's only if the litigant says, listen, whatever the court rules, I don't care, I'll give you the money.
Okay.
Why is he going to court?
Because he thinks the court's going to rule in his favor.
Whatever the court rules, I'm
going to
give you the money.
Yes. No. I'll give you the money even if I'm innocent. I won't argue against the court's decision.
No, of course.
How can one argue against the court's decision? I mean, the decision is made.
Can you appeal it?
Goyish court, but not in Jewish law, can you? In Jewish law, you can appeal?
That's what we learned.
Normally not, but let's see, we just started the Gemara. The argument of Yudam Mishmol says like this, the argument between the man and the Chachamim, if you can retract it, is speaking when the guy says, listen, I the money is forgiven if the court decides in your favor. But if the guy says, I will give you the money, that means one is the plaintiff, one is the litigant. Everybody holds the defendant can retract his acceptance. Okay? So Rashi explains why. Because only a kosher court can obligate you money. The fact that you accepted upon them is not enough. This is what the Gemara is saying now. With La Halacha, it's not like that. But what the Gemara is saying now is like this. Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel says that it's only if the defendant, no, I'm sorry, if the litigant says, listen, if the court rules in your favor, I meichel the money. You don't have to pay me. That's when the Chachamim hold, you could change your mind. But if it's the defendant, and the defendant says, listen, if I'm guilty, I'm going to pay you the money, it's coming from the defendant, then everybody says you could change your mind. This is what Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel says. Why? Because the defendant has a right to say, it wasn't the kosher court that obligated me. But Rabbi Yechanan says, Be'etei loch machleikis. The machleikis is by the litigant, I'm sorry, the defendant says to the plaintiff, I will give you the money if the court finds favor in my eyes. Even then is the machleikis between the mayor and the chachamim.
Thousand ways to disqualify the court.
No, there isn't, because not always is it acceptable.
And there are many ways.
No, if it's a kosher court, you can't disqualify it. According to the Chacham, even if it's not a qualified Beis Din, you just chose him, you also can't disqualify him.
Before the not being one of the judges.
Yeah, or father.
Before the verdict coming, they say, we give you the money.
We're not done. The Gemara didn't talk about it yet.
They say that. They say, I will give you the money if they your favor. Favor of court.
What yeah, according you're right. According to this, it's after the verdict already. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference over here? The difference is like this. Am I meichel the money? Or do I have to give the money?
There's something called judgment in Jewish law.
What do you mean judgment?
Somebody owes somebody $10,000.
No.
And the guy says, I don't have $10,000.
No. So Beis Din makes a payment schedule.
Yeah.
There is a judgment, yes.
Yeah. Unless, for instance, the Gemara says two cases, an eved or a woman, yeah? If somebody, I'm not talking about secular law. If somebody's wife damaged somebody's property, yeah? A wife went and smashed somebody's windows. Now, halachically, the husband doesn't have to pay. He didn't do it. The wife did it. She's not a baby.
Ishtekugufa
means she could do whatever she wants and
I mean, being monetary
damage. And if he sins, she gets killed.
We had it. You said the story was a very interesting story.
1 minute. So then the din is, yeah, so the woman's obligated to pay. But she can't pay because she has no money. Because all the money belongs to the husband. So what's the din? Beis Din rules, you owe him the money when you get divorced. Your husband dies and you'll have personal money. That's when you have to pay for it. Or if an eved damages somebody's property, a guy shepherd. Now the master is not obligated for what the eved does. What he controls eved? It's a person of him knows own.
But
no cotton is Gemara says pigios and raw. That's even worse because if the kid damages you, he doesn't have to pay. You damage him, you do have to pay.
You do the kinyan with the wife. It's yours.
What?
When you,
she belongs to you.
Belongs, right.
So now if she sins, you get killed?
It seems like it.
You can kill anyone.
Well, normally when your property damages somebody, you're responsible.
Yeah, but she's not your property. She's a human being that has free choice.
But she's a part of, I mean, the monetary she...
Monetary. Owns. But not the damage. I didn't do the damage. She did the damage.
The damage is monetary.
But you didn't do it. You don't have to pay. I'm not talking about civil law. Civil law is
much better. Yeah, she cannot pay.
Today, even if a kid damages, the civil law says the parents have to pay.
Yeah, that's... But in civil law, if a woman damages, the husband doesn't have to pay in civil law here.
The story that the lady was sick.
What?
She was sick and...
No, that's a different story, because he's obligated to heal her. She got sick by giving tzedakah, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a different story. It's not damages, even talking about damages. Anyway, let's come back to the Gemara here. There's the plaintiff being meichel, and there's the defendant saying, I'll give you the money. It's two different, okay? So Rabbi Yudah Meshmul says, the argument, if you could retract or not, is only when the plaintiff says, I will make you the money, then you don't have to pay me. But if it's the defendant saying, I'll give you the money, then both the defendant could retract. And Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even by Atin Lachma, where the defendant says to the plaintiff, I'll give you the money if I'm wrong, even then he could change his mind. What's the difference? There's a din, Mechila, doesn't need a kinyan. If you owe me money, yeah, and I say, I'm meichel the debt, that's it, the debt's off. Even though I didn't make a kinyan, I can't change my mind.
Well, you can change your mind.
Right? Tough luck.
You need edim for that, yeah?
If everybody agrees he was meichel it.
Who is everybody? Both of
Both sides agree, but they don't know the halacha. They said, yeah, I forgave the debt, but I changed my mind. The din is mechila doesn't need a kinyan. So we hear when the plaintiff says in Bezdin, to the story, if the Bezdin finds your favor, I will be mechel the money, then you can't change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Chachamim. Because it was mechila. Meir says you could still change your mind. Because it wasn't a kosher Bezdin. So now the Gemara asks in Rabbi Yechanan's position. When Rabbi Yechanan's argument said, the argument is if the defendant says, I'll give. So the Gemara says, Be'atein loch the machlekes, does Rabbi Yechanan mean like this? That in the case where the defendant says it, then you could change it, then there's an argument to remain the Chachamim. Avo b'macholach, but if the plaintiff says macholach, divra ha'kol en yocholach, then everybody says he can because he was meichel. Or does Rabbi Yechon mean bein bezu machlekes? In other words, like this: Rabbi Yudah Meshmul says the argument is when b'macholach, mean when the plaintiff says it, right? But if the defendant says it, everybody says he could change his mind. And Rabbi Yechon says no, when the defendant says it is the argument. So Gemara's question was: did Rabbi Yechon mean in both cases they're arguing, or only if the defendant says it? But if the plaintiff says it, everybody says you cannot change your mind.
Well, can I ask a non-related question?
What?
Somebody asked for your forgiveness. And you say, okay.
Can you change your mind?
And then later you change your mind.
No. I mean, if you meant it.
It's done.
Yeah. That's if you put it on paper, it's much easier. Then for sure you can't change your mind because you have it in writing.
Why do we say three times then? Mokhallah, mokhallah, mokhallah.
Who says mokhallah three times?
In the Nusa.
Because it's everything is three over there because it's the best then. But
Erev Yom Kippur, you ask someone, forgive me.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, God.
I forgive you.
I forgive you.
No.
And then 2 days later he says,
I changed my mind.
It's after Yom Kippur.
Is that a question of a mayor? He says that you can't retract for money, financial?
No, you came in the middle. There's a lot of cases over here going on. This is not you can retract money. So when he accepted an unkosher bezdin as a bezdin, can he retract later?
What if you find new information, let's say whether financial or whether forgiveness? You forgive him, then you find that he did it purposely. Then you find that he did something else.
So then it wasn't a real forgiveness.
So in other words, if you didn't have all the facts
straight, it's a mistaken identity.
So if you forgive somebody money and then later on you found out that actually you also stole
Money is money. Forgiveness is feelings of the heart. Money, if I forgive the money, it's over.
So it's done, right?
Yeah.
Either case, financially or emotionally.
What?
He says, don't be afraid, I forgive you.
I forgive him, I didn't
retract. It didn't change.
Okay, so now the Gemara says, Toshma come, I'll... So the Gemara's question was, Rabbi Yochanan arguing and Rabbi Yudah Mishmon both times or just in one? So he says, Toshma, Amr Rava says, Machleik is the argument between Rabbi and the Chachamim is Be'etin, or when the defendant who says, I will give you the money, and then he wants to change his mind. Avo b'macholach, but if it's macholach, divrei akol en yocholach zibay. Then everybody agrees. This is what Rava says. So iyamet b'shleime be'etin loch machleikis. So if you say the argument is only by etin loch, the defendant, avo b'macholach, divrei akol en yocholach zibay. But if it's macholach, everybody agrees he can't change your mind. So then Rava holds like Rabbi Yechanan. That's what makes sense, right? Because seemingly Rava holds like Rabbi Yechanan. But if you're going to say bein bezu machleikis, but if you're going to say going to Rabbi Yechanan, they're arguing in both cases. So Rava, the Amar Kaman, who does Rava hold like? Meaning like this, it's a funny question because the Gemara is going to answer. Rava argues, I mean, big deal. Rabbi Yechanan said, I mean, Rava says a statement like Rabbi Yechanan, seemingly that the argument is only be'etein loch. But by macholach, when the plaintiff says it, there's no argument. So if you say Rabbi Yechanan says that, that means that only by etinloch is the argument, but by macholach everybody agrees, then Rava holds like Rabbi Yechanan. But if you're going to say Rava is saying only by the argument by etinloch, not by macholach, but Rabbi Yechanan holds the argument is by both, so who does Rava hold like? Not the Rabbi Yudah Meshmul, and not the Rabbi Yechanan. So my answer is Rava Nafshi the time will come. What do you mean? Rava can't argue. Rava says a third opinion. So we still don't know what Rabbi Yechanan holds. In other words, like this, let's finish it off like this. The argument to Rameh and the Chachom, if you could change your mind. So Rav Yudah Meshmul says the argument is only by the plaintiff changing his mind. Because then he's Meichel. The mayor says you can change your mind, the chomod you can't. But if it's etein loch, the plaintiff, everybody says you can change your mind. Okay? Rava holds the opposite. The argument is only by etein loch, when the plaintiff says, when the defendant says it. But if the plaintiff says it, everybody says you can be meichel, change your mind. And Rabbi Yechel, we don't know which one he holds like. Does he hold the crop or doesn't he hold the crop? That's the whole issue. Yeah.